In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, 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 hello. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are. My name is Alex Q, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 4, Battle Scroll, I Never Met Her. Get it? Battle Scroll, I Never Met Her?
You know, I laughed then expecting it to be terrible, and then it's only just sunk in what you meant, and now I'm genuinely laughing.
Yes, it's terrible at the start and now it's slightly less terrible.
That was a good one.
Still terrible, Alec.
Thanks. Thanks. I'm ignoring Owen. Thanks, Darren. Thanks.
Owen's hard to think.
I think it's terrible still, so do I not get it? Is that
okay, it's terrible. It's terrible. Anyway, this is our fourth episode. In each episode where I get insulted by the other host and the guest. But we also use the expertise of my superstar co-hosts, where we discuss tabletop topics that we hope will help improve your generalship, expertise, and enjoyment of your gaming experience. Ooh. It's the podcast that will talk nonsense, if you haven't guessed already from the title, all in equal measure. And it's the podcast, since our last one, which I know is 3 months, has been deep diving the new Glasgow Willy Wonka chocolate experience. You guys seen this? Please tell me you have.
Yeah, of course.
I haven't.
Oh my God.
What do you mean, of course? I haven't.
So for those listeners that have no fucking clue what we're talking about.
And they?
A Scottish Willy Wonka chocolate experience was opened in Glasgow over the last few weeks. And my God, I've been deep diving this thing. It's actually incredible. So if you don't live in the UK, just Google Willy's Chocolate Experience.
Don't Google that. That's different, Alex.
Basically, a dude in Scotland who's tried to write lots of books with AI decided to open what he called an AI-generated immersive experience based on the story of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory in Glasgow, Scotland, this year, February 2024, for people who might be listening back to this in the future. Hello. And the results are absolutely fantastic. he's basically, because they can't call it Charlie and the Chocolate Factory for obvious copyright reasons, it's called Willy's Chocolate Experience, which is fairly amusing by itself. Yeah. They can't call them Oompa Loompas because copyright, so he called them Wonky Doodles. And he's written an AI script with AI images in a very random open warehouse and charged people £35 per ticket to come and see it.
Do you actually
and yeah, you go to this empty warehouse. They show you some really shit pictures of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
You get a jelly bean. Get one.
And it's in glass. So do you get like a piece of chocolate and then they headbutt you?
Well, I don't know what. I'm assuming that is exactly what they do. And they have some dude who's supposed to be Willy Wonka, who's actually called Willy McDuff. That's the guy's name. So Willy McDuff and his wonky doodles say hello to you in this big empty warehouse with AI, and they just give you a glass of lemonade and a jelly bean.
You don't even get chocolate.
No, you don't even get fucking chocolate. What's even worse about this fucking AI random ass generated thing, because the AI has generated the script, there's a villain in this new story.
The Unknown.
He's called The Unknown, and he's a chocolate-making villain that comes out the walls.
It's basically a kind of weird silver mask. A bit like a sort of, imagine a V for Vendetta style mask, but just sprayed silver, and then a big shock of black hair, and then a weird glittery outfit. But it sort of like emerges from behind a mirror in this video, like in a kind of gangly, like the thing coming out of the ring, out of the TV in the movie The Ring, you know, like all gangly and weird. And then you just hear lots of kids just going,
it's so good. It's so funny.
It's really quite disturbing.
If you've ever seen...
the lady, the Oompa Loompa, got, like, she, for being a good sport, the person they hired to be the Oompa Loompa, like, she reversed it, and now she's a hero in the narrative of it.
She's
for putting up with it. But the picture of her being miserable is so good.
It's so good. She looks... Sorry, the wonky doodle. No, the wonky doodle.
Sorry.
Is stood there looking really miserable, trying to give these kids
Willy's
crap. Willy's... Everyone listening is now frantically Googling this. But it's worth your time. Stop listening to us and go and Google this, because if all of you remember the Fyre Festival fiasco, or any of the other sort of ones like Fyre Festival or Lapland New Forest, or what was the Tumblr one? DashCon. It's along these same lines, and there's definitely going to be a Netflix documentary about this. It's absolutely genius.
Indulge in a chocolate fantasy like never before. Capture.
Except there's no chocolate, and they can't call it chocolate because of copyright. So it's called something like Chocolab or something like that.
I'm on the actual point.
So, to clarify, there's no Johnny Depp or Timothy Chalamet Ding Dong. Neither of those make an appearance. They couldn't quite get the fees together for that.
The FAQ. What can I expect from Willy's chocolate experience?
Two jelly beans and a cup of lemonade. That's what you get from it.
And a mentally scarred child.
Oh, God, it's so good. I love stuff like this. I love it.
I mean, the Firefest guy moved in across from me at my old place in New York.
Oh, wow.
Afterwards, after he got out of jail and whatever, he had lived in the penthouse of the building that I lived in. And then he moved into back to the same building, but on a much lower floor. And I used to get his mail because it was directly across the hall. And my wife was like, under no circumstances. She's like, I know you want to meet him. You cannot. You are not allowed to befriend the fireman.
You did not meet him. Why didn't you meet him?
That was the one both of you guys visited, Ian. Yeah, the old one we used to.
No! Oh, wow. I'd have definitely met him.
I know. I was like, if I can, I'm going.
I'd have tried. Let's go again. Let's do it again.
Do another one. Call it Four Festival or something. So if you haven't seen this, please go and Google the Willy McDuff's chocolate experience and his wonky doodles, because it is absolutely fantastic. Right. Enough of that, though. Let's do some intros, shall we? You have heard everyone on the pod already, but our first co-host and his sexy serenades, he is Positive Victim on X. It is Darren Watson, everyone. Hi, Darren. How are you doing?
I'm grand. I'm absolutely stuffed because I thought we had to be here by 8, and then Owen delayed it by 20 minutes, unbeknownst to me. So I absolutely scoffed my dinner. Now I'm really regretting that decision.
We had to be here by 8 on January the something, so we're about 2 months late anyway, to be fair. So, okay.
Always late, so I can't really have a go at Owen.
You should be careful about scoffing your food.
I know.
People have been writing in concerned about the meatballs. People are very worried about your general health and you choking on meatballs.
I think somebody described you as the meatball guy to me the other day.
Only nearly by. That was quite an experience. Life affair.
People have been enjoying the meatball story, Darren. So,
good.
Any more life and death experiences, or have you managed to stave off the Grim Reaper for another few months?
I'm just not sleeping at the moment because I'm in full fucking training mode. All I think about at the moment is silly Warhammer lists. I keep waking up in the middle of the night. And I've got to get out of bed and I've got to get my phone and I've got to go onto War Scroll Builder and like see if the list that I'm dreaming about works and then I can get back to sleep. Otherwise I just constantly think about it. And I do know that not sleeping is a surefire way to get into an early grave. So I've got to get on top of that.
Maybe start get a pad and paper and write it out.
I was literally about to say that. Have a pad and paper next to your bed and just write it down.
This is full of lists. That's
yeah.
Really, really good for an audio medium, Darren. But wow. Basically what Darren is doing is showing us
two journals full of fucking list ideas and maths and all sorts of shit. Yeah, I'm going mad. I'm going absolutely mad.
Are you finding that the process is working though? Or are you just like a madman rambling into the night?
Well, let's look at my recent record at tournaments, two back-to-back 3-2s. So it's not fucking working, is it?
That's over 50%.
No, I know. I've taken a Kronspine to, I took it to Sheffield and I took it to the South Coast GT. I wanted to give myself some really difficult games. I'm trying to get better at the game. I'm trying to train, trying to put myself under pressure. But that just sounds like someone who's trying to make excuses for the fact they've lost 4 games, doesn't it? Which is exactly what it is. But the TLDR is that Kronspines are really fucking difficult to use, which is a shame because I really do enjoy using them. It's fucking dog shit.
Well, they also suffer from everyone has been terrorized by them at least once and then has figured out how to play against them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Marathi's problem.
Exactly.
Like, everyone knows how to play against Marathi.
But if you want to get better at the game, you've got to challenge yourself. There's no point using the top meta lists. What are you going to learn? You're going to learn that list was good. So I've learned a lot, I think. But also I fucking hate losing. So I think that's also keeping.
You can see it in your eyes, the little glint of I fucking hate losing. I fucking hate losing. Yeah,
a couple of the games. Well, actually, the vast majority of the games, it's not like I've been completely run over. They were all very close, and I managed to pick up a good couple of victories as well. Like, had a really good game with Stephen Follows, where I survived a KO double and still came out on top, which is
pew 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 pew.
Really fucking pleased with that, as you can imagine. And then I played a great game with your teammate Peter Twigg at Sheffield. I really enjoyed it. A really good brain teaser. I hope he enjoyed it because I really did.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, lovely. And then I had a good couple of games this weekend against Dominic, who pipped me, and Hazel, who took advantage of a fucking huge misplay I did right at the beginning. I'll tell you about it later, but it's keeping me awake at night. So I've only lost to quality opposition, which is, again, I'm just trying to make myself feel better. Moving swiftly on.
And you always learn more from your losses than your wins, Darren.
You do. Yes, you do.
Well, I'm just happy that you haven't killed yourself, to be honest. So that was a win for me. So that's enough. So you can do, yeah.
I do have some good news. I am, sorry, it just come to me. I am debt-free for the second time in my adult life as of 2 days ago.
Yeah. Woo!
Darren, look out.
Look at
I have
that.
Been working my little bottom off for the past 3-4 months. I was 5 figures in debt, and the first one wasn't a one. And now I'm not. And I'm getting married in May. And I was really hoping to start married life debt-free, and I fucking achieved it. So,
yeah. Oh, awesome, man.
I'm sucking at Warhammer, but I'm winning at life. So, yeah.
Really, oh, congrats. Yeah, yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Well done, and if you want to donate to Darren's Onwards AOS account, you
I've just been working long old days, but
no, I'm joking. That is actually really good. That's really good. So congrats.
Thank you.
Well, with all that feel good stuff, shall we get our next feel good man into the equation? He is our sexy socked seductor. You can find him at sickening sock sucking succulent sacks on the gram. He's at OJ180 on X. It's only 5-0.
Yeah.
It's the Owen Jackson. Hi, Owen.
Hello. People put that down as like my name on all things now, and it winds me up, but I know.
Oh, how terrible. You're known for going 5-0. Oh, woe is me.
It's better than
no.
Oh, it's 5.
I meant the V bit, but it's fine.
Oh, sorry. I thought I take it back.
I thought you meant the sickening sock sucking succulent sacks. That's what I thought you meant.
I thought about that for ages, of course. I got t-shirts and everything. Hi. Hello.
You're right.
I'm great. It's nice to see you all. Hear you all, you know.
It's been a while, eh?
It's been a hot minute. I mean, we've just been trying to get our diaries to align, haven't we? Like the beam.
Oh my lord.
Oh, it's an unwieldy beast.
I've heard you've been working very hard, Owen, but I must say you look fantastic. I'm loving,
loving
these glasses. I was expecting you to be more haggard, but you're looking...
For the listeners, Owen is looking a sexy salt and pepper beard going on. He's got some dark black rim specs. We can't see the socks, but they're probably sexy. He's in a nice black T-shirt number, and he's got some frosted glass behind him. Now we're seeing a bit of ankle, some white... Some plain white socks.
Can you say that again? Sliders. I want to close my eyes and listen to you.
I need to get my sound effects back on. Hang on.
Yeah, thanks. I'm feeling all right. I've got my glasses are like a sort of Michael Caine kind of number. I'll do not
blow the bloody doors off.
No, I like the piss take one that they used to do. I'll do not like a bird with big hands. That's my Michael Caine impression.
I thought my impressions were bad, but I think that took the biscuit. That one.
She was only 15. There we go. That's my.
Yeah, that's slightly better. I like that one a bit better.
I'm fine. I'm in a new spot, as you know. I've got I'm in a new part of town. Same old Owen though. So yeah.
And Warhams has been going pretty well from what I hear.
Well, I've been really chilling out. I've only played 3 tournaments this year, which is not a lot for me.
What?
I know. I've got other things going on in my life.
You've normally played 3 tournaments by the middle of January, so that is slowing down for you.
I know. Turns out that when you've got like a more varied, balanced lifestyle diet, that, going around little toy soldiers all the time isn't quite the one. But no, so did Brotherhood and Bloodshed, and then this weekend Jody Bedford's tournament called Fall to Darkness in Essex. So
I've Jody.
Yeah, it was nice. It was good. Yeah, Wayland, hadn't been to Wayland Games in Essex for ages, and it was fun. Got to travel there and back on the tube, which is always good. Well, on the train, you know.
The tubes.
Jody works at a zoo, and he invited me up, actually, and I took Alex up there. And he allowed us to feed the tigers. How fucking cool is that? So we fed tigers. We fed hippos.
Did you give them vegetarian meatballs?
Yes. we fed giraffes. And there was a new arrival at the zoo. There was a baby rhino. And it was
nice.
This little baby rhino came around the corner. The mum like came up, looked at us as if she was checking us out. And then it felt like she nodded. And that was like the go for the little rhino. She was like saying, oh, they're okay. And it toddled over. And when you rubbed it, it put all its legs in the air like a dog. That was fucking cute. I got loads of boyfriend points for that. Alex.
Well, there were no rhinos there. There was a bloody frog on a chair just hosing everyone off, as usual.
Oh, yeah.
Bloody.
Yeah, the huge.
Yeah.
Was that the one you won then? No. Which one did you win?
I ain't won nothing, mate.
Did you come second?
I didn't come second at the weekend, but my best tournament this week.
That's my trouble. I never
second at Bloodshed. Yeah. So
is that because of not enough? You have too many people to have a clear one 5-0.
Correct. Yeah, there was like
versus, and you guys don't add rounds that often.
No, we're lazy. It was just 5 rounds, but actually, here a little bit of a story for you if you're interested. It'll take me just a moment.
Please, can I add some jazz music in the interlude whilst we listen?
Make it up in your own head.
Okay, please. Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
So, please stop. Matthew Goulsborough and I, we both went together, teammates, dream mates.
You know, lovers.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think that was public knowledge, but carry on. So, we both went with armies that I knew that my army wasn't completely finished, and Matt's army was a couple of the spells only had a few colors on them, but they fitted in. Long and the short of it, we both went 3-0 day one, loving life.
Yeah,
I smashed up some Gargants and blew up some Varangard and had a lovely time. And then we found ourselves on tables 2 and 3 on the Sunday morning, and because of the quality of our paint jobs, we both had paint penalties. Now, the TO, I love both Steve and Dan, brilliant guys, and there was perfectly valid what they the way that they penalized me, certainly. Matt was a bit upset, but moving on, we both realized that the only way, and it was a golden ticket event, and we were penalized to the point where if anybody else went 5-0, they would go above us, even if we went 5-0. So we figured out mathematically there were only ever going to be 2 5-0s, so we just had a little hug. We were like, come on, let's just, you know, the TO decision is final. We respect it. Let's crack on. So we just said to each other, if we win all our games and we don't play each other, we'll come first and second. And then whoever's got the most points will get the golden ticket. So then we just had like a team tournament kind of vibe through the rest of through the Sunday, where he got a good draw. He played Big War and Sylvaneth, but I played Tzeentch and Cities before they got the nerf. And, yeah, so I scrapped to get my 5-0, and then that gave me enough points, obviously, to get the 5-0, but also it meant that I got my teammate and my buddy and my roomie for the weekend. I got him his golden ticket by winning all my games. So there was a 7-inch charge with some Ungor that teleported across the board that they couldn't fail, because if they'd have failed it, they would have whisper-bladed with the command call to stop my reroll.
Mm.
So to take an objective, score 1-2 more against Alex Bruce, I had to charge in my Ungor, retreat, get the points, win by 2, and then get Matt, my boy, the golden ticket. So,
and you were slightly annoyed that you had to really work your socks off and he had a fucking breeze.
On reflection, maybe, but really and truly, the
that's an angry wank later in the evening, that.
Definitely. Stand wank, yeah. No, I was just happy to do that. So that's been my little adventures on the table.
Oh, well, congrats anyway. It's still great.
Yeah, still great. It was the first Beast of Chaos 5-0 in the world since the GHB, the new GHB.
Oh, win. Oh,
I was pretty proud of that. Well, if you throw enough shit at the wall, something will stick. So, you know, I've taken them to so many tournaments. And I
was like, you do throw a lot of shit at the wall.
manure. I need to. It's manure, okay?
Round out, man. Well done. I'm proud of you.
It's good. It's good.
Bulgar will talk.
It's really good. It's really good. But I've had enough of you, Owen. So
I know. I rambled more than Darren this time. Holy.
I know.
Sorry.
So I need to get our sexy guest in.
Do it.
You've already heard him speak, and he's been on multiple podcasts because he's a bit of a celebrity. And it means I get to chant USA, 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 land of the free and the home of the brave.
Yes, you committed so hard.
It was perfect.
Thanks. Yeah. You can find him at Jay Noah Singh won the number on X. He's Team America's and LVO winner. It's Noah Singh. Hi, Noah.
Last, not current LVO winner, last year.
Yeah, that's okay. So it all counts. You won it. It counts. It counts.
Social winner.
Like, everyone just calls him President Trump still. Not you, obviously, but they call him President Trump.
I don't think anyone calls
him. So, is everyone calling Noah President Trump about something I've missed? So.
They do, then they need their head checking. Sorry, carry on.
Well, you're in the States, once you've been president, you're president. You're called president forever.
Yeah.
So can we call you LVO winner, Noah?
Yeah, can we call you LVO winner, Noah? How's things, Noah? You're good? You're showing us your wonderful home earlier, which looks fabulous.
Yeah, I'm a migratory animal, so I'm in the southern part of the United States now, and then as it gets hotter here and cooler up north, I'll go back. It's like I'm like a bird.
You're literally like a migratory bird, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm in Key West for a couple of months, which is great. There's a big news for Key West Warhammer. Someone opened up sort of a like a shed that has a Warhammer table in it, and I've gone over to it, and I went twice. I finally met the guy, Captain Zappa.
Shout out to Captain Zappa.
Captain Zappa. He went offshore for 4 weeks. So it has not been open. I've not yet played a game there, but sometime this year I will play a game of Warhammer in Key West. It's going to be great. And not just me on my TTS.
You can set up the Key West Age of Sigmar Warhammer Center, and then people can
I bullied Tom Ling into coming down for several days and played 5 games with him, which was good.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, other than that, it's really easy from New York. It's a direct flight. It's not.
But you've been practicing quite hard. I remember you saying in our WhatsApp chat you've been on to practice weekends and stuff, right? Is that all Team America stuff?
Yeah. So Team America. So our country is quite large. I don't know if you've ever seen it. And what happens in a large country is you can't just sort of randomly wander over to each other's house and play war games with each other. So we have to schedule weekends at Airbnbs to go do in-person practice and then lean on TTS quite a bit.
Okay.
And so, you know, like I was like, how many practice weekends do you have to the Danish? And they were like, every weekend? What are you talking about? What do you mean practice weekends?
Yeah, but that's the Danes, man. It's too cold and dark. They can't do anything else. So, you know what I'm saying?
The whole country is like just an area outside of New York City. But you guys are not that much. I mean, you know, I've heard complaints about it's like far to go 2 hours. And I'm like, I fly 6.5.
And how's the practice going? All good? I mean, obviously don't reveal any secrets because people are listening. But
People will. I'm probably not supposed to tell you our comp or anything. It's good. I went to 2 tournaments. I went to LVO, which was not a great performance because I got kind of a brain worm that I couldn't defeat, and I had to a little bit of a case of the fuck arounds.
Was that the Cruel Boys one? Was that that one?
No. That was great. Love the Cruel Boys. Double trolls. I brought all Dark Elf cities.
Okay.
Just massive tons of four-up wards all over the place. And it was bad. It's a bad list.
Yeah.
Don't do that. It's my first piece of Warhammer advice. Don't do that.
that's tips. Our biggest tips and biggest mistakes are at the end. No, but that's a perfect tip. Noah's tip is the.
What if you took them with a cron spine? Do you think that would help?
Honestly, probably. No, it's a fun list that relies on a mechanic that is not something I should be trying to be doing. You know, you're counter charging through 25 millimeter bases and you're hoping you roll a lot of 4-ups, which is like, you know, my times I've tried Night Hunt, not a good thing for me to be doing.
It's
interesting that an army of like pirates and buccaneers and seafarers, that list has not made its way to our shores, I've got to tell you, Noah.
Yeah. I've not seen anyone anywhere. And I think I could tell them, no, it's not worth it. It was really fun. I had a really fun time at LBO. And then I went to the Tough Crowd. Tough Crowd presents Nashville Teams tournament, which was really fun. And that I played Cruel Boys, but I didn't want to just copy Jacob Brandon's list exactly from LVO. So I took out some of the good stuff and put in two of the troll bot, the boss riding the troll, the Master Blaster guy.
Yes.
And every game I did the same game plan, which is I set up a castle and then I super sneakied one exactly within 17 inches. And then I told my opponent why I did that. And then I would go, I had some indigestion, away for the bathroom for a little bit, maybe a bar run, come back. And then they would always take top. And because there was a troll in front of them, which was great. Then that was super fun. I really liked playing Cruel Boys. They're really fun right now.
Oh, great.
But two trolls, probably too many trolls. but 1-3 lost one, and I will tell you how that happened at the end of the show. I guess that's my misplay.
Well, actually, that's quite a nice lead into what we're talking about. So if you hadn't guessed from my amazing title already, way back about an hour ago since we started the podcast, we thought it'd be quite nice to chat about where we are at post-Battle Scroll, which is partly why this episode's a bit delayed and partly because I've been very busy. So we were going to talk about some where we're at, basically, and what's been going on. So I guess we just keep going with you, Noah. Like, how are you finding the current meta with things? Where do you think the lay of the land is? Anything that you've noticed in the latest Battle Scroll we thought, ooh, that's tasty, or you think, nah, it's not so good?
I was very excited for the Battle Scroll for many weeks because of a lot of big changes that I'd heard rumors that were completely false and I had been bamboozled. which I really like. I love the like Kremlinology of figuring out like what's going on at GW. It's one of my favorite parts of this game. Tortoise.
We're being shown, whilst Noah is very bravely trying to actually talk, Darren is shoving Tortoise in his face on the camera, hence the more chaos of this podcast. But we have a Tortoise in the way. Sorry, Noah, for my co-host's distractions. Please do continue.
I thought you'd enjoy that.
I did really enjoy that. I love that. Is that the one with the bicycle wheel?
Yeah, this is Malbec, who had a bicycle wheel. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Lego
wheel.
New to him when he broke his leg. I'll put him back down.
So the Battle Scroll comes out, right? And then the kind of just the couple of quick things that were like, to me, super sexy immediately was obviously Demon Princes. So fun. They can go anywhere. Great ally. Really, really fun. And then I really, really like the new Stormcast guys, the Quester Soulsworn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, that is such an efficient War Scroll. Mm. And, like, so when I look at lists and I build lists, I am probably very different than, I know I'm different than Darren on this, and probably you guys as well. I am not confident in myself that I'm going to pull up the Wombo combo. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to get it off. I'm not going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. What I want is a bunch of things that give me options to figure it out real time.
That is just
like screaming that that's a unit that can do that. Mm-hmm. You know, teleports, high wound density, there's stuff that can buff it, but it doesn't really need it that well. And then just counting for points late game.
Yeah.
Like that unit seems really, really good.
And they pump. They pump damage.
Yeah, they do great damage. Yeah. And they're slow, but everything's slow in that book. So
I was about to say it's Stormcast that's slow.
Yeah, but they can teleport, and it's any time.
Yeah,
which is like big strength on that. And so I was just sticking them in cities lists and stuff, and being like, this could be really fun as just a thing that stands behind your steam tanks. Unfortunately, it's more fun to just have more steam tanks. But they were really fun. I really, the new battalion, The change to wizard hunters to get this 5-up ignore. If you have been bullied, if you are being bullied by any magic and looking at you, other turtles, tortoises all over the place, and frogs and other amphibians, this is like you're going to have a out, right?
Yeah.
Like they can't reliably say they're going to be able to do it. But it also, you know, like as I've been building lists with that, it's moving back towards not a spread threat. Like in the summer, it felt like our meta, at least, was very 1 to 2 big threats and then a bunch of other little stuff.
Yeah.
And then it went very MSU for the fall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if battalions and such start making those sort of big fighting blocks good again, 2-inch range on Nighthaunt and Fire Slayer seems like that might be something that starts happening. That's, you know, and so to me, I'm like, oh, then Bellicor's back because Bellicor's again effective against that.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my thoughts on that are like, there's take a big block, let it ignore things, go kill your opponent's army with it. You'll have a great time.
Mm-hmm. So you think it swung back to there already? Do you think?
Oh, I have no idea.
I think so. People are. If you look at the lists for the Brothers War tournament coming up soon. Because the knock-on effect of Wizard Finders being good, I think, is drops seem to be going a little bit higher again. I'm not sure if that's necessarily a team tournament thing or not, but people wanting to put in Acolytes, people wanting to put in... I mean, everybody but you, Darren, you just love a one drop, don't you, baby?
I just... choice is better than...
Yeah.
Choice is, in my humble opinion. Like, if you've got a plan, if you're a man with a plan, and I've got a fucking million plans before I even get to an event, then having those bits and bobs just isn't as valuable to me. But I get why other people do it.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to get to the table and know, what am I doing if I fail that roll off, if it's a one drop? Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, I don't have to worry about that. I know exactly what I'm doing when I get to the table.
That's why being high drop is good, Darren, because then you know you're not getting it.
Yeah.
So you build your
list. Midpoint that fucks you. It's the hope that kills you, right?
I'm going to go 25 drops. I'm going to take something where if they make me go first, it's awful, and then I'll get to go second.
But I took Wizard Finders at the weekend. It was great on the Saturday. I blocked 2 blizzards when I put my balls in.
Oh, that felt good.
Yeah.
2 blizzards you got. Ooh.
And then,
must have been absolutely furious.
And then my Lumineth opponent finally got a blizzard off and rolled 4 ones on the damage.
No.
Blew up the character with the Phoenix Stone. It was quite a moment.
Wow.
Tell him to get better.
I mean, yeah, I did say roll better.
Get better.
He did.
That's like one in 12,000 chance, isn't it?
It was crazy, right? So yeah, I agree with you. I was thinking, like, one of my little notes that I put down about what you said about Nighthorn and Fire Slayers is, you know, they say that an inch isn't, you know, that much more. Oh, that was me. They say that an inch isn't that much more, but if you've got an extra inch, it depends what you do with it, right? So like Nighthorn and Fire Slayers, the increase in their range. I think we're going to.
It's about the motion of the ocean, Owen, not how big your boat is.
Exactly. True. Yeah.
Well, that's what I tell Alex. But.
The side thing to that is also that you can do with a lot of stuff, like in a 6-man unit, right? You can get them all in by honeycomb. Mm-hmm. But if you're playing on a clock, you're hurting yourself on time. Right. By doing that, it takes forever always to do right, particularly if someone is really precise with you about it. And so it's just nice to be like, should be 2-inch range.
Oh, that's a really good point. It does help you on the clock, doesn't it? Nice.
Yeah. Sorry, Owen, go on.
I was going to just say that, yeah, those changes to range. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to see a resurgence of Zangor. Even though you got the same change. But yeah, I think the Nullstone tactic, I think everyone seems to be, you know, now that we're so far into the edition, I think you can't just write a list based on, oh, I think that this is cool and it's a combo and it's going to kill things. You have to build for tactics, don't you? You have to build for grand strat, like massively. And I think the addition of that new Nullstone adornment tactic, I don't know if it's a bit, it's a funny one, isn't it? Whenever you buff anything, it's a bit like the old universal artifacts thing. People will be like, oh, well, they haven't got any good artifacts in their book. So like giving them the whatever it used to be called, the thermal rider cloak, or giving them this, the ethereal amulet.
The five ward amulet and everything.
Yeah. It's like, that's good for them, but it makes the good, like it makes the already good stuff even better. So, you know, like Khorne and Caradhron overlords, you know, getting that Nullstone adornment tactic, I think is really strong. But also like ogres and maybe Sons of Bayamat, giving them a decent tactic. Because you don't even have to take the objective, do you? You just have to have an adornment and be contesting that.
You don't have to take, you just contest. Anything, same question to Noah, I guess, and anything that jumped out at you, you thought, oh, that's some tasty Owen stuff. That's some not so tasty stuff.
I mean, I would say that the Quest of Soulstorm going down 20 points is massive, but the points don't really move the needle too much. I think that you can get a few extra bits here and there, but I actually think that the biggest change to the meta, or one of the big things, is that they didn't give Flesh Eater Courts the bad touch enough. I think that army is going to be an absolute menace for the next few months. It's not unbeatable and it needs play, which I like. It's not just put it on the table and go.
Yeah.
But I would say that, yeah, Flesh Eaters is going to be, they just put so much on the table to start with. And then, it, you know, more often than not, if it's played well in the hands of a good general, it'll all come back. But I love ragging on them and I don't care. And I love the players, but I hate the army. But our fucking lizard overlords are still going to be rocking around.
Yeah.
I mean,
you think they're still top dog?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Matt Goldsboro was saying at the weekend that he thinks his list even better. He was like, he didn't use Cleanse the Realms, the tool, for the whole of day one because he had enough damage coming out from Croak already. It's like if you take Cogs and you go second, then you get as many space points as you used to get, even though they changed the command trait. It's like, you know, okay, I might have lost a screen or an endless spell, but you just, you know, you're able to generate a screen on the first turn anyway just by playing the game. So,
yeah. You don't think Feck, Cities, all that lot can jump in there? No. Well,
the thing that was keeping them in check was Null Myriad, wasn't it? And I wouldn't say it's gone, but it's certainly, we're not going to see so many. Mm-hmm. Actually, there's a really nice, is it the Norwegians that have got an Ossiarch Bone Reaper list at Brothers War that's Null Myriad that I thought was quite interesting?
Oh, I haven't seen that. Okay.
Yeah, it's funny now. I think if they'd have given it, they'd gone from a 2-up to a 3-up, but made it not incumbent on being near a hero, I think that would have actually been a benefit because you can go wider and you can play the board more.
Mm. Yeah.
Incredibly resilient stuff. But I mean, I must say, I think in the US, Noah, like Null Myriad was everywhere, wasn't it? Like, oh,
You couldn't, you couldn't get away from it. You were going to play it at least once a tournament, no matter how you did.
Widespread in the US tournaments, I guess because you guys had quite a few Soulblight as well, though, right? Is that just was that a counter to all those kind of Nagash Soulblight star lists?
We had zombies.
Okay,
we had a plague of zombies here for a while.
Yeah.
And primarily one very small, very strange thing was terrorizing everyone with them. And I think they're still good. There's just more damage is in the game now, and you have to be really good, really good micro player to play zombies well.
Yeah.
Your tiny interactions are super important, and not a lot of people want to spend their entire weekend arguing about, you know, millimeters.
Right? Yeah, of course. Yeah. And are your tournaments normally, not to touch on the hot potato of this podcast subject, but are your tournaments clocked? Do they have clocks or not?
Independent tournaments, mostly independent tournaments. say if one player wants a clock, you play on the clock.
Okay.
There are, again, we are, you know, I think we're like a third of the total Warhammer players in the world. So we have many different areas.
Yeah,
some
sure.
people super clock. They have not allowed clocks at the GW Opens.
Yeah.
Which are some of the bigger tournaments here now. And that has certainly made it less likely, you know, I'll probably go to one to two of those this year.
Yeah.
Those are not clocked. They have this system that they created where they just tell you what you're supposed to be doing in the game at certain times and no one follows.
Yeah.
I don't my rant about clocks is very short. Like, just why not?
Sure. that is a very short and coherent argument. Yeah. I ask just because the million zombies list is quite hard to play on the clock, right? You kind of have to haul ass to get
you have to know what to do. Like you have to be really good and experienced and quick with what you do and efficient with what's meaningful. But every single list, I mean, I've played against people with Gargants who have timed out before, you know, like I think time is practice of your army more than it is anything else.
Yeah.
A lot of people like to write it down. I don't write anything down until I actually get there.
Yeah.
But people, it's just reps, I think.
Yeah, of course. And do you think, or have you seen that those sorts of lists kind of disappearing? Has the zombie plague disappeared from American shores, or is it still?
It is. Not there at all, really. This is a little bit, but it's mostly very, very balanced currently here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you know, we don't have Big Wall. Like I was looking at the team lists here for when I come visit you guys in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the same list has been taken, and I that's not been happening since LVO as much in the tournaments here.
Yeah.
We, I think, all like to be special, you know, flowers.
Mm.
But it's also credit to this edition. You can play basically anything.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to build your own list. Like every faction almost has something you can do.
Yeah. And so you think it's more about what kind of Owen was touching on about just building towards those battle tactics, those strats. And if you get that down, actually, you can play quite a lot of things.
Yeah, and in a GT format, you're just trying to win the game,
yeah.
Right? You're not trying to win by a margin or whatever. You're trying to win the game. And if you have five tactics and a grand strat, you've done a lot before you've arrived at the tournament towards that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the things that are powerful that don't do that, like, you know, Khorne can struggle with tactics somewhat. There's some other people will bring things in that have a solution to it.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating. That it's so different. Like we will get a plague of one thing that you guys won't get. You'll get a plague of something that we won't.
Because
you see something cool, you see your friend playing it.
Of course.
You're like, oh shit.
I was intrigued by the American like meta in inverted commas because you say it's such a big country and there's so many different areas that are like size of countries that you have so many different little ones that then sort of fuse together in the big ones and then you sort of see what comes out on top at the end of it. It's quite interesting tournament circuit to keep an eye on just because how different it all is.
Yeah, there's also any tournament you go to will have several really good players that you don't really know that well because if you're a person like me who goes to a lot of tournaments,
yeah,
because they don't fly around and go to tournaments, but they're locally that really great person.
Yeah.
And so you'll end up with just, you're like, oh my God, that was incredible.
Yeah.
And it's someone you haven't seen before, which is really cool.
The quality of play and the players America is producing has improved, hasn't it, as well, I feel, over the last 5 years. I would say, and I don't mean it's going to sound horrible, no, but it's meant with love. Like I wouldn't have been worried if I was playing an American 5 years. Whereas now, I think to myself, "Where are you from? Oh, you're from America. I'm going to be paying much more attention than I would have done historically." You boy.
Well, we have a lot more.
A lot more tournaments. There seems to be. You do fucking tournaments properly as well. So there's a lot more prestige. There's a lot more competition, right?
There's a lot more rounds. Fuck me, you guys, you guys go to like 9 rounds or whatever it is.
Yeah, the growth of an 8 rounder. I think we're up to like, so the GW Opens, when they get too big, they did, to try to deal with having only a 2-day schedule, they did shadow rounds after Saturday at one of them, but now they're going to different systems for that. And then there are several other that are just going to be 8 rounds this year that were not. And traditionally, it was just LVO, but Nova is 8 rounds as well. Those
endurance
are the two
hammer.
Ones.
You've created endurance.
Well, imagine doing that after the invitation.
I mean, and considering we're talking about like meta and list, does that come into your thinking when you're thinking of what to take? Like you're thinking, okay, I've got to, might end up playing 8-9 rounds here. Does it really come in? You're thinking, hang on, I need to play something that I'm not going to break my brain after 3 rounds.
No, I'm trying to break my brain immediately.
Same.
I think I can't speak forever. People play all kinds of fiddly things. I think that, slanted lists that lean into one thing really hard but have a counter you need to avoid. Is less likely over 8 rounds, particularly if one of those counters is something that tends to perform better.
Yeah.
Right? Like you can skirt in a 5 round or, and just get lucky. It's less likely, particularly with top 8s, et cetera, that you're going to manage that at an 8 round turn.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. Darren, we haven't come to you yet, buddy. How do you think the land is? What have you been seeing? What's anything exciting you? Where do you think everything is?
I like the Regiment of Renowns, and I like Manfred jumping about.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say the Manfred Soul Blight Nighthorn.
That's everywhere, sir. Everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah. And I like that being in the ecosystem because it's going to encourage people to screen better, which actually improves everyone's play. Okay. It's a good scroll for the health of the community at large. I mean, whether or not it's too good.
I was about to say healthy until it runs you over. Yeah.
But if it does run you over, then you've not played very well into it. So it's something that hopefully there's a high learning curve there, which I think is interesting. This battle scroll disappointed me a little. I heard rumors that it's the most impactful battle scroll we've ever had. And then.
Yeah, just like Noah was saying, it was just,
Fucking changed. Corner's still really good. Like, Seraphon are really, still really good.
Yeah.
There's nothing like. The goalposts haven't. Nothing's making me feel, I'm going to take that again. That's going to be really fucking good. It's really hard work if you don't have any recursion out there. Believe me, I know, because that's all I've played recently. I've played Stormcut. I've played armies with like less than 25 models for the past 24 months, and it's just hard work.
I was about to say to you, because you've been obviously using some of my Stormcut stuff, and every time I give some of them to you, I'm thinking, Darren, this is going to be rough, isn't it? Just trying to do
all
this.
On that note, Alex, I need to borrow 15 Hunters. and you need to bring them to Brothers War if that's doable. I'll put you on the spot, so don't answer yet.
That's got no recursion still, though, right, Darren?
No recursion whatsoever. So people like me that are old and can't or don't want to run loads of models and have recursion, it's harder and harder operating with recursion. I don't know if
I think it's more important now because of FEC and et cetera. Do you think it's more, it's kind of more prevalent, or it's just the same? It's just we've got another tome that's just really good at it.
I think it like alienates a style and an area and a whole sort of group of people that like to use few models and big monsters and things like that. It's pushing them out. It's pushing them out. Which is fine, but is it healthy for the game? I mean, it's good for their wallets because you've got to buy loads of fucking models, right?
But we used to have lots of strong summoning, right? Like, it's a similar thing to when Tzeentch was super prevalent and was summoning, crazy amounts of extra stuff and was change hosting around.
Yeah.
you learn how to play it and prevent it. I prefer it as a rally. I love Feck. I'm playing Feck. It's great.
Yeah.
But because you can't tag and get out of it, it feels really like you can't stop me from bringing my models.
Yeah.
It's got to come back. Whereas Gitz, which is kind of, I think, the other main recursion army, you have to actually get out of combat. And so you would, clever players would pull themselves out of coherency, pull back, re-rally, things like that. But that was hard to do for a moment there. Feck is, you just do it.
And so, and do we think we're going to start seeing more? I don't really know what I'm trying to think of what the anti-recursion sort of factions are, but I'm starting to see kind of more counters towards this, or is it just kind of more a kind of an arms race, a recursion arms race, as it were?
I think what you need to, if you are going to be playing recursion, you still got to really be concentrating. Have always the mission in your mind. Like I picked up a lot of games because I played the mission rather than trying to beat my opponent. In some of the big tactics with my Stormcast is I don't want to kill new models because I don't want them coming back.
So I just,
So I just win by getting my battle tactics and interrupting a couple of yours and standing on circles and slowly sort of retreating away. So that's how I'm trying to handle recursion. I'm trying not to kill fucking anything.
So then does it move a bit more towards kind of your more tanky type list, the list that don't take damage but don't really kill anything, but you can get them in, pin stuff, tank up all the damage, you don't kill anything so nothing comes back, you win that way? Is that kind of
Armies with a 5-up ward, I think, are the way to go. Like,
not a 4-up. That's terrible. 5-up was better.
So, I think in a way, like, okay, cool, their stuff comes back, but there are restrictions on where it comes back. So, you know, if you control the board to a degree, then I think that that has a lot of value. Like, you can control where they bring their stuff back. And there are bits of counterplay that I see. Like, I'm seeing a move away from, for example, like OBR. I don't see the aura of sterility, but I'm starting to see a bit more like diversionary tactics, which is a thing of like a bubble of -3 to charge, which I think is really strong.
Really nice.
I really like Griffhounds and Shooty Stormcast. You know, like if something pops up within 12 of Griffhounds and 3 units get to shoot it. There's a couple of edge cases, but also I don't know about what you guys think about like these sorts of armies, you know, like the Feck army, unless they're spamming loads of ghouls with a 5-up ward, like huge blocks, then there are ways to blow through a block of horrors or a block of like, you know, and then on the double get into the heroes. So I think going low drop, because they want to get their spells off, so they like acolytes, so they tend to be like 4 drops or something. Yeah. So if you can get down to 1 or 2, and then it gives you an out, at least, you know, in that game where you know, right, cool, I'm going to give them first and I'm going to play for a double, you know, at least. No, I know that's, so I don't think I'm going to be picking up many patrons on Onwards AOS by giving you that
for a double. Yeah. roll better and go for a double.
Really, invoices in the post.
Yes. Between you and me, that's what I've been doing for 18 months.
But no, so you have to like build to try and counter that sort of thing. I don't think build and play to try and counter it. It's almost like, it's like trying to find a cheat code against it, because it just has inherent strength, doesn't it?
Sure.
You know,
I think you have to have an intimate knowledge of how you win the game, your army wins the game. And if you're up against these recursion armies, they're really, really strong on the primary. You're not going to beat them on the primary. If you try to, you're not going to. So you need to do things like try to split them up, try to concentrate on, my army's going to be in 25% of the board, you know, and I'm going to edge out a win by getting my grand strategy and trying to interrupt those. And you've got to be thinking of that from turn one, you know. My game against Peter Twigg was a really good example of this. I think a lot of trouble on paper, my army.
What was the matchup, Darren? Just to expand it.
So I took, I don't know why, I took fucking Stormcast and a Cronspine.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking sadist to Sheffield. And it was Power Flux. And the traditional way that you play Khorne, if you lower drops, is you go second. You go second, so you deny the Khorne player the double turn, and you obviously you have the double turn. I didn't do that against Peter. I took first turn, and I killed the unit of Furies on the left. I knew that he wanted to do surround and destroy, but I did this very confident that he was going to pick the objectives that are at the sides rather than the ones in the middle.
Mm. Oh, you said Power Flux, didn't you? Yeah.
Power Flux, yeah. So when you go second, you have the choice. So I took the first turn. I took the opportunity to take away his surround and destroy, which is his one of his easier battle tactics to do. So he forces him to use another easy one. So my plan was to starve him of battle tactics and get my one strategy and keep his away. Mm. Okay.
Which sounds sensible to me. Sounds
solid Khorne strategy, that.
So then, and then because I was very confident he would pick the ones on the flanks, I then go to the extreme of those flanks. It splits his Khorne army up.
Yeah.
And then for the rest of the game, I had Bastion was like fighting and never dying on one objective, and the rest of the game was concentrated around the other ones. And I could keep, then from that point onwards, when he did split his army up, I was able to give away the turn and keep the game 50-50. So I'm only fighting half of his army at a time. I'm getting all my battle tactics, and eventually he was starved out of his battle tactic, and I managed to, because I'd split the army, and then I played a game of I don't want to kill anything because I don't want to give him any blood tithe points because I don't want him to get his grand strategy and I don't want him to bring any fucking models back. We played a game of basically running away, and I edged out the game by about sort of 6 points. So it's that... You have to find other ways of winning that aren't the traditional. Because at the end, he was like, "I was really surprised when you took first, like that you." But he said, "But in actual fact, I think you played the mission better than I did." That's because I was playing the mission from the word go, not halfway through the game when the game started to develop and pieces are coming off the table. Like my, I think your macro plan has to be really fucking solid. Like we all talk about the micro a lot, and we all concentrate on the micro a lot, I think. And I do think it's super important, but don't concentrate on that to the expense of your overall understanding of how you're going to win this game, like, and how you want the battlefield to look, because you can control it by making decisions like that. But you have to, every situation, you have to assess independently when you get to the table. You know,
I might have
gone first into, but that's one way I try to deal with Khorne, is to break them up and then fight over, like, you can have that half of the battlefield, I'll have this half of the battlefield, rather than us. Because if I was trying to say to Peter, if he'd have chose the middle objectives, yes, I'd have got an advantage with having my locus, I'd have got an extra point.
Yeah.
But it would have meant that the whole battle would then have been down the middle. And then his whole army fighting my whole army in the middle is game over at that point. So in actual fact, what I think he did was something that he'd always done before, and a lot of people would, I'm going second, I'm going to choose those ones because that means that he's going to get there and then I'm going to take them off him. That's like the standard thing. Think about the overall fucking game. Where do you want the fights? You want the fights in the middle, right? Choose these ones, even though it looks disadvantageous to you in the moment.
Yeah.
It's advantage to you throughout the entire game. So you've got to really work on your macro.
I think macro is more important than ever now, because people are coming into the missions with a solid plan, and they haven't played the missions 5 times. They might have played them 25 times each.
Mm.
And they know their army, and like people have in their mind, you know, what their turn 1, 2 battle tactics are, what their win condition is. You know, people are coming in to the games a lot more drilled.
This is an issue though, Owen, because if you know what your opponent's going to do, which is what I, as soon as Peter put down his 2 units on the side, I know in his mind he's thinking about, I'm going first. Oh fuck, I'm going second. And then he's not thinking about, I'm gonna choose these two for that reason. You know.
So hold on, it's time to be a maverick. It's time to be a jazz musician. It's time
script. We need to play more Jazz Sigma. Jazz Sigma is the meta.
If you don't have a plan, they can't figure it out.
No, but if you can interrupt their plan, If you can do what they're not expecting, then people have got to make shit up on the spot. You've got to put people in situations that they're not familiar with. And also, similarly, when you're practicing, you've got to seek discomfort. You've got to put yourself in difficult situations so that you can work your way out of them. There's no point playing the same game over and over and over again.
You're right, actually. I did one practice game in advance of Bloodshed where I played against the one list in the tournament that I was worried about on the worst mission. And
which was?
30 Fusiliers and all the steam tanks on no risk reward. So I was just like, they're going to be able to reach me turn one. They're going to be able to deploy away from the board edges to deny my rituals.
Mm-hmm.
But that bit of practice actually did help me. This is a little bit off topic, but it actually is in line with what you were talking about, Darren, in terms of like to win in the meta now with people being more drilled is to do things that they don't expect, which is, again, no risk without reward. My opponent was playing, his name's David, he was playing Stormcast, playing the Knight Judicator list. So three Knight Judicators, Ionis, Long Strikes, Paladors, and a few other bits and bobs, a Relictor. And he did the deployment that you'd expect, that he put Long Strikes. He actually put Ionis in the sky, but I would have put him on the board. And then one of the Juds and a few other bits in the sky. And then he put like a tiny castle in the middle of the board of two Knight Judicators, some Vanquishers, some Paladors, the Relictor, and gave me top of one.
Yeah.
And I put my whole army on the board and zoned it all off.
Yeah, so yeah.
Could only put his stuff in the corners.
Mm-hmm.
And then I charged the middle of the board with 12 bulls and Bellicor and basically just did 18-inch triangulation points where, and his face, he was just like, because he told me, oh, my mate plays beasts all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And measured out 12 inches, and he knew I had to get away from all the rituals, and he set it all up perfectly. I was like, that was a nice deployment, and I'm going to just, I was two wins, two losses. I was like, this is freaky. I'm going to try something. And it worked, and I won the game. Even though I got doubled from one to two and then lost every prior, but I just, you know, it doesn't matter where
you're getting. Well, once they're down, they can't then jump about, can they?
No.
See, I love that. You've taken a difficult situation, and how do I win this game?
Hmm.
I win it by limiting their movement. That's the one advantage I've got. Right, I'm going to go all in on that.
Yeah.
Fucking fantastic, Owen. That's great. But what you need, I think we need more creative. Or we just take Seraphon and
just hose everyone.
But there are ways to create.
Have Fek been winning your guys' tournaments?
I think
I'll admit I've been a little distracted. I haven't.
The production meta is catching up a little bit, but I think at your tournament there were a couple of Flesh Eaters players at the south down in the south coast, weren't there, Darren? That went 4-1, a couple of 4-1.
Yeah. I think Luke Skelton did.
I don't think anyone's won a tournament here yet, but I think
I can't remember a Fek winner, but I might be wrong.
I think it's a player's army, and the list, there's quite a lot of lists. You know, there's spamming Morbeg Knights, there's Usharan in a sort of grind mode with lots of Crypt Guard and stuff. I know that Jeremy Vessier's got his own spin on it. It seems to be, and then you've got your own spin on it, Noah. I mean, you're taking it to Brothers War, aren't you?
Yeah, just big lads. Only the
just big
just big just the big lads, yeah.
Yeah. Just chunky boys. The most efficient return on deed points that you can get. Let's go with that.
Yeah. And just, I wanted to touch on it very quickly, Darren, just because the last conversation was really interesting to me, and the fact that we've spoken a lot on this podcast about know what sort of player you are. So we've talked a lot about whether you're a proactive player or a reactive player. And to me, some of those plays sound quite reactive. And I've always thought of you, and I think you've expressed yourself that you are a proactive player.
Mm.
And so are you finding that actually you're having to be the player, a different player, to then deal with all the stuff that's there? If you see what I'm trying to ask?
No, because I'd challenge what you've just said, because I think what I described was an incredibly proactive decision.
Okay. Yeah.
I gave Peter the problem. So this is, I think this is a common mistake when people are talking about reactive and proactive. So for me, a proactive player is the first person that asks a question, you know,
mm-hmm.
here's a state of things that you're not familiar with. Go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have to think, then they've got to solve it. And if you can predict people, and I thought Peter would play very stereotypically of a corn player, then that works.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucked if he'd have given me a problem back, you know.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to fight in the middle of the board now, you know. But the reactive thing to do was to do the standard thing. So I don't think I'm still playing in a reactive. I'm still going first. I was still asking the question.
Yeah.
I can't answer your question because I don't agree with it.
No, that's fair. That's absolutely fair enough. Yeah, that's absolutely fair enough.
I don't mean to be mean.
No. It's not at all.
Where's your head at, Alex? What would you play if you were going to go to a tournament in the next month or something? What do you feel like? What's excited you after the Battle Scroll?
It's weird because every time I've talked about stuff that I like playing, it's always revolved around movement, and I don't think that's changed at all, actually.
Wow, there is no phases there. Just be anyway.
I like speed. I find that enjoyable. I like the movement stat is my favorite stat of all of the.
I think you should get
it, and that hasn't changed. So you know,
a big T on the table, mate. Get your Lumineth out.
Get big T down.
Yeah,
Travis from Australia. Shout out to Travis. Yeah, because I know he listens. He sold me an absolutely beautiful trees army for next to nothing.
Okay,
so I've got the old Sylvaneth now as well, which is.
Is it Belfana? Oh. Three Tree Lords and Gotrek.
not quite. I haven't quite got that actually, but I'm sure I could get there. So yeah, I mean, for me, the enjoyment is the movement phase. That's the one I enjoy the most. So. I wouldn't say that's the most winningest combo, and it's not exactly, you know, genius strategy that I'm dropping on you. But
you were shaking your head, Noah. You don't like big T.
Right now, it doesn't play very fast.
No, it doesn't. But it moves fast when you want it to.
Could move fast.
Yeah. The potential.
No, if you want to play something fast right now, I think I've been waking up. My version of Darren's insomnia right now is going back to Iron Jaws.
Yeah.
I think that just a bunch of pigs might just be good again.
Is Gordrek worth looking at? Is it the big one on the Maw Crusher? Is he 440 now? Is it still terrible?
Yeah, but he's a 4-up save.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And are you just saying straight Iron Jaws now? Are you talking Big War? Are you talking the...
Well, the changes with Big Wall, if you want to play a bunch of stuff, you can totally bring that in, make your general something else. It's not command traits that really like change it significantly.
Yeah.
That go for Big Wall. Personally, my favorite thing I think mechanic I've ever played in this game is Blood Tooth. It is so fun. Like, tag something, pile into something else, move again. I've moved like 30 inches this turn. Is fantastic. And it's really fun. And then the new Ragers are really, really cheap. And so you can bring some cheap little runaround units that periodically can just kill you. It's also got a version of Strike First. It's got good rend. Seeing less OCRs and other save stacking stuff. I guess Sylvaneth are back pretty hard and they save stack really well. But like, I don't know. It seems I haven't done it yet. I have no actual knowledge on this. Mm. But it seems like Iron Jaws might be in a good place right now.
I think we all, when a new Battle Scroll comes out, we all return to our love just to check, just to check in and see if it all works. And then we check.
Give it a little phone call. Hello, how you doing? Yeah.
And then we fucking hate Warhammer for a couple of months and we realize it's good.
Tell me, Darren, how is Gotrek?
I'm still going to run him. It was obvious.
Well, I thought Gits were in a bad place, and then Chris Werder just blew my mind with his list for our team tournament.
Yeah, Kregnoth and all the... I love that. That's what, just quickly, shout my favourite lists going to that event are that one, Kregnoth and all the
Rock Cuts.
Thank you, my love. And Alex Tubbs's got a very interesting Sanesh list. I love it. I believe he stole it from someone else, but it's really fucking cool.
Oh, it's the thing I lost to.
Ah, there you go. Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. I lost to this. But what I was playing was terrible. This was at Elvia. Mm-hmm.
What's this one?
It's three big chaps holding hands in Slaanesh. Glutos, what's her name? Shellac.
Shellac for damage.
A keeper.
Thank you. Yeah.
Shellac's damage is yeah.
It's a big bubble of like minus one to hit from Glutos, then Shellac's minus one to hit, minus one to wound. I would have liked to have seen some fiends in there. They've got Blissbub. Seekers in there because obviously they probably want to do a bit more damage, but I think you lean into the standing. I also would have preferred to see it in Godseekers because they've got an artifact which is once a turn minus one attack everything within 6 inches, so that against a melee army, their big go turn, they go into you, they're minus two to hit, minus one to hit, potentially minus two to hit, minus one to wound if they're into the fiends and Shellac's. Those are the things that you put up front. And then they're a minus one attack. And if you've got a living whip in there, they could be minus two attacks. I just think that's...
Well, wouldn't they get minus three to hit if you add in the stuff from the Allegiance? Because Glutos
Of course. Yeah, later on in the game, it's absolutely wild.
Yeah.
So I like... Again, that's one of these lists that woke me up at night. I was like, oh, Alex's list is good, but I think I'd put it in Godseekers, and I think I would do this.
So you say you woke up from your dreams shouting Shellac's and large voice. Okay, so what I wanted to kind of end talking to you guys about is kind of what you're all looking forward to, if you're allowed to talk about this, because I know lots of you guys are practicing for teams and country tournaments and stuff, but what are the things you're most looking forward to playing, if you and how you're going to use it? I guess I'll start with you, Noah. What's the sort of stuff that you're really now excited about? Is it still the Cruel Boys? You're still on the Cruel Boy hype train, or is it
Alex, all three of us are about to lie through our teeth.
Yeah, exactly. Wait for three lines.
What do you want us to say?
It's hard because I would love to know what you actually are excited about. Maybe that's the question, not what you think is going to be best because you're all going to play the bentest shit for the country tournaments. But I mean, what the stuff that you are actually excited about, if you could pick the one thing you'd like to play. That's what I want to know.
Gotrek.
Oh, mine's, I mean, picks, yeah. what I'm excited about is that right now, because of how balanced everything is in terms of armies, you can go back to some other stuff. And for me, that's Iron Jaws. And so I'm excited to rock up to some RTTs and play a bunch of pigs and a bunch of the Brute Ragers. I love those guys.
Yeah.
And just hit people with stuff and be all over the place the whole time. I love running around very fast. And then Feck, I'm having the most fun playing Feck. It's absolutely just like, I don't think it's Smash the World good. I think people are overestimating that, but just running into someone and telling them your damage characteristic is very, very funny to me.
yeah. I roll a six.
Yeah.
How much is it? Is it five? Is it four?
But they're like, well, it's only on a six. I'm like, yes, it's 45 attacks. They're like, what?
Yeah. Okay. Owen, what do you think? You're sticking with your Beastly Boys, your Beastly Core? Yeah.
It's like a blooming abusive relationship at this stage. I just keep going back.
Well, Owen, I like your list for the Brothers War.
Thanks, mate.
I like how the journey, but I think it's better than when the lists you were running when we were playing, and you know, that's that kind of time. I couldn't articulate myself very well then, but just to know, I looked at your list and I thought, oh yeah, that's some good sensible choices.
It's got a lot of levers and options, like you say.
I haven't seen it, Owen. What are you doing?
I mean, it's just where I've kind of been going for some time now with a few like little additions. So it's just a Dark Walkers. It's 9 drop, which is the only problem at the moment. But it's basically Doomball with Fight Last Artifact, a Zangor Shaman with +3 to cast once per turn with Blizzard, a Bray Shaman with Ghost Mist to hide behind things, and then 2 units of 10 Combat Ungor, 20 Raiders, 2 units of 6 Bulls, and Bellicor.
I think Bellicor is such a good home for Beast of Chaos because it just protects you against that. You keep everything off the board, don't you? And then turn 2, you want to give it away, so you've got the double into 3, and they effectively fuck up their turn 2. They don't do anything to you, you know. And he really protects that if you don't manage to hit the priority.
The turn, how I was using him when I was playing in the summer, was the turn that someone, like, once you've done your big swing turn, you're not going to clear up everything, mm-hmm. and so you hold the thing. Or you use it aggressively if they have counter charge or anything like that, which is really like it's an aggressive Bellicor as opposed to a defensive Bellicor. Yeah. Like you're not denying tactics with it. You're denying having an army with it.
If all goes well, like again, I played at the weekend against 20 Cavaliers, 20 Fusiliers, a free guild on General on Griffin and some screens. And yeah, by the time I got to use Bellicor, he had 10 cav and 5 cav left, and I had my whole army, and I just Bellicored the 10 cav, and they didn't do anything all game.
He can
be a real pain. So I do really enjoy it. It's shit that it's pretty much an army that hits on 4s, which kind of
the trees aren't calling you back. You don't hear the bristles, the whistles of the leaves, and the prong of the bark coming through to your ears, dragging you back in. No,
I've played a couple of interesting things, which I'm excited about, which are...
can you talk about them? Or are you not allowed?
Yeah, no, I can talk about them.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. So I've never played a Destruction Army at a tournament.
Ever? Wow, okay.
I've been playing, like, Cruel Boys Heavy Big War, which I quite like. Somebody at the weekend had a unit of 30 Gut Rippers, which... got my balls tingling. That seems.
They have reach 2 now.
They've always had reach 2. The old stickers.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. Fair enough.
I think they're an amazing anvil. You know, early game, you just put your elixir on them, give them a 4-up save, -1 to hit. Like, you know, they're solid.
They're very.
Beg your pardon.
You can super sneaky them as well. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you can do that. Or Mork's Eye Pebble them. And I think that Cruel Boys is like Cruel Boys heavy. And then I've been playing Annihilators with Ionis.
There it is, baby. Tell me, talk dirty to me, Owen.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me it's the big hammers. Please tell me. Owen!
Tell you what I did do.
Fucking shields.
I know. I tell you what I did do. I did Thunderbolt Volley turn 1, and then I translocated a unit of long strikes, and then I shot them again. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It did so much. So,
Was that against Link?
Yeah, did you hear about that game?
Yeah. I got a text that said, Owen is being very rude.
Thomas Ling invited me over to his house, and he set up a table, and he had his beautifully painted new Sylvaneth army, and I turned up with a load of grey plastic and bases, and I had my Ionis wasn't on the dragon, he was just straddling the rock. I have to say, if anyone's got a Stormcast army and they're a bit like, buy Ionis Cryptborn. That guy is like a bundle of fun. Teleporting around, you know, you can sling units around. Nice bit of damage, good tech piece, lots of denial.
It's not that expensive either.
Yeah, he won me the game basically. I played against Belthanos and a load of hunters. I think amongst other bits and bobs. But yeah,
good. I mean, I do enjoy the fact that we do these episodes and we get some lovely strats and advice from all of you and yourself, Noah, and then when actually when it comes down to you and Darren say, I dropped these long strikes and I shot twice. Yeah, great.
Fundamentally, I would say that in this meta, what I'm looking for is I want 3 to 4 solid strats and then a little bit of like uncertainty tactics, you know, 3 to 4 battle tactics. I can definitely, you know, nail my, nail on my score sheet. A grand strat that's reasonably doable, and then a little bit of time to have a bit of solo fun in the middle, you know, a little bit of a jazz solo halfway through the game where you
like your jazz, a bit of jazz in the middle, but a nice orchestral piece at the start and end.
Exactly. We have a fully laid out song.
Yeah.
Jazz solo in the middle.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's like freeform.
For the listener, Noah's just donned his sunglasses just for this moment, so this is great. And finally, Darren. So for you, I mean, again, I know you can't talk about everything, but
hey, what I'm looking forward to doing. Have you seen the new Daughters of Cain War scroll? I'm looking forward to
What's she called?
Some new war scroll. I'm looking forward to moving a unit in the hero phase on a 2+. That unit being a priest, that unit having the Cainite pendant, and then automatically casting curse on someone. 15-inch curse. And then I'm looking forward to putting it in an army that's got like 90 witch elves.
Fuck you. Well, I'm looking forward to you rolling a 1, Darren.
No!
Have you ever used daughters, Darren, just thinking about it?
I won the daughter with it.
I want the daughters.
Yeah, with a cron spine. Do you know what? You can fit a cron spine back in.
You got like cron spines or something, Darren. Have you got a file? Have you got Solvite?
He's got a 3D printer at home and he's pumping them out. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's great. Right. I think since we've had such a cool conversation, we should do our top tips and biggest errors, but I would also like you, if you don't mind, to have your biggest kind of underdog that you think might do well, you kind of like little sneaky that some stuff that people think's really crap but actually you think might come as your dark horse pick for the meta, but in general your top tips and your biggest mistakes that you think people will be making when it comes to this upcoming tournament, kind of the last, what, our last home run before fourth, I guess. Darren, I'll start with you, if you don't mind.
Biggest tip, have a macro plan. Have a good understanding of what your opponents, try to anticipate what your opponents do and do anything you can to just throw them off and just get an edge in the early game. And then, you know, you don't have to win big. You just have to win. Like before, it was all important to get the 20-0 so you could tell everyone how clever you were on Twitter. Like, just fucking get the win now. The armies are so, the power creep that we've experienced, the armies are so big. Like, most lists can take a double and blow out of the water now. So being too clever is not a great idea. Just try to get the win and have an understanding of how your army wins. Does it stand on circles? Does it kill things? Does it interrupt battle tactics? Does it get all the battle tactics? You know, be thinking about your grand strategy and your opponent's grand strategy from turn one, not turn three, not turn four. It's too late by then.
And any mistakes that you think of?
Biggest mistakes. You've got to focus now. I've got such a misplay to tell you.
Yeah.
You've got to focus. And then an underdog.
Yeah, if you got any. We can move on whilst you have a think, if you like. And go down to Owen.
I think fishes. So the fish, eels going down to 160 points. Having used them at the weekend, I mean, obviously I went 3-2 with them, but I did have a cron spine in the list. But just seeing the power of the turn that they go, they fucking go. And like, I think I made a couple of mistakes with my sequencing that I think if I went to another tournament, perhaps I'd improve on. And I can see the power of them.
Are we talking the electric kind, or are we talking the ethereal kind?
You want a mixture of both. I think you want a couple of blobs of sixes on the defensive eels, and then the other ones you want MSU.
Okay.
The interesting ones you want MSU. But that fucking, you can get that go turn where they're all running and charging. Like they're going like 20, 30, 40 inches across the table.
Oh, Darren, I love it when you talk dirty to me. You just
move to here.
Just keep talking. Keep those movement inches going, baby. Yeah.
It's not.
And then they all die.
They do. I agree. They do. They do all die. But I think I still think there's some potential there. Like you go in. The way I imagine using them is you go in, you do the damage, and then you fuck off. And you've got. And then you play the.
When you say fuck off, do you mean you die? Is that what you
No, mean? No, as in like you run away to the sides, you know.
You swim away.
Yeah, you make sure that you don't go too far behind on the primary. You do enough damage and then you just try. Because their battle tactics are actually reasonably easy to do. And they've got a couple of good choices for grand strategy.
Being a proactive player, does it mean that you have to shoal your hand really early?
Yeah. Oh, for God's sake. God. This is why he's 5-0 in now. This is it. This is the world over.
The 5-0.
I want to pronounce it Thoen Jackson. So you just make it one word.
Thoen Jackson.
Thoen Jackson.
Thoen makes you sound like a Viking god. That's cool.
I'm down.
Owen, with that atrocious nonsense.
Aye.
Top tip. Biggest mistake and dark horse or underdog?
I think I came a bit unstuck at the weekend. I know this sounds a bit silly per se, but in a digital world, like people don't show you their lists very much anymore. You just kind of like having to remember it as you go through a game. So I would just say going back to basics, like, you know, have a good look at your opponent's list before each game. If they've got a printout, brilliant. But that seems to have gone away as part of a thing that everybody does. But I got caught out at the weekend by something. So, yeah, just top tip would be to go through your list. More macro for the meta, I would just say have a linear plan, but be ready to go rogue. And have the pieces to do a little bit of a crazy plan every now and again. And I would start, I know that I'm playing an incredible control army, but try and find pieces in your list that build into denial of tactics, not just the scoring of your own. Because that could just be Seraphon and like, I'm going to kill all your shit.
It's a great okay.
Yes. Yes, it really yes. works to deny tactics. If you don't have any models on the board, you're not getting in, yeah.
That's where I live.
Not against big one.
That is where I live.
don't live in your own little bubble. Think about, you know, how to deny your opponent a little bit as well. That would be that'd be kind of where I'm at. And yeah, just read stuff and you know.
Yeah, it sort of plays into the kind of Darren's what he's talking about, the kind of making sure that you've you know how your stuff works, right?
Yeah. Don't be sloppy. Like you can be a nice opponent and be like a good person, but it doesn't mean that you know, you should let people get away with things on the table. So, like, that's, again, a little bit of an aside, but just, you know, don't be like, oh, yeah, I think they're in. Yeah, yeah, cool. Just be like, no, let's measure it. They're not in. Screw you.
It sticks.
Well,
and also, take-backs are not sports. Like, no. Like, giving someone take-backs doesn't mean that's not sports. That's different. People mystified them.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. Any dark horses for you, Owen? Any underdogs that you think people think are crap and actually might be all right?
I don't think people think they're crap, but I think that they're underused, and I think they're excellent. Fire Slayers and Daughters. You know, you've got guaranteed grand strats both there. Lots of bodies on the table. Decent, you know, rally. Both got 4-up rallies in the army. Both got on pieces that are difficult to work with, like Marathi and the Flame Keepers have like counterplay or, you know, annoying things your opponent to deal with. like threat saturation, mental load. Yeah, I think that they're both going to be good armies.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, great.
And no, ogres always good. There we go. Go Hazel, fucking hell.
That was one of my two picks.
You can still have the pick. No, any tips you have for people coming into this meta, coming into this sort of? We talked a lot about recursion and the plays and stuff. Any tips for people, you think?
Get a set of sticks to measure your distances for things, your bubbles. Get tokens and learn your missions that are at the tournament. I don't know. All of the tournaments that I've gone to tell you what the missions are beforehand.
Yeah.
Know what they are and don't bring an army that's just screwed on one of them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if they've got Zephyr, just think about it, figure it out. You know? My underdog that I think is great is Coalesced.
Okay.
Secretly great.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic.
It's
still what it was. Like it's got negative damage and it's got the Aggrodons played correctly are a very weird unit, but are very good.
And I obviously don't go to as many taunts as you guys, but I don't remember seeing that many Coalesced from memory.
No.
I remember seeing that many like hovering around. So
GW said like today or yesterday they purposefully called them out as being an army that they want to tweak along, you know, they want to give a boost to. So I agree with you, Noah. Like the Starseer 5-up ward pops at the right time in that army is like, okay, cool. I'm fighting Nurgle now with minus one damage. My face turn one, pinning me in. Yeah.
Well, and gets better the longer it's in combat. Mm. And you're like, this is good.
Yeah.
And I like all your tips because they all sort of revolve around the same sort of theme about that, you know, now everyone is so drilled, as we all said, that actually just knowing your outs, as Darren always says, knowing how to win is sort of how you do it now, right? How just be really good at your plan and go from there and see how you go.
At least have a plan, because if you don't have a plan and it goes wrong, you don't have a fucking clue how you can change it. But if you've got an anchor, mm-hmm. if you've got a plan and it goes wrong, then you know you've got an anchor, you know how to tweak it next time.
When we talk about plans as well, Noah, it's not buy a drink as soon as the bar opens.
Right, to end this fantastic episode, we have our lovely section that people love. Darren, I don't know how loud or not loud you're allowed to be at this time of night where we are, but
it's the misplays.
I don't know why I'm whispering. I don't need to be quiet. It's the misplays plays section of the podcast where we talk about some plays and misplays. So
we've got neighbors and I've got a little one and I don't want to, we've got a new little one and I don't want to wake them up.
So Darren's about to shout misplays. Right. Darren, you've been itching. I'll tell you about this thing. So let's go. Let's hear it.
It's been keeping me up at night. What's the one thing you don't do if you've got a fucking cron spine? Come on.
Leave it within three.
Put it in your own
stuff. Leave it within fucking three. Right? So I'm up against Hazel. She's got five fucking monster trucks.
Yeah.
Right? And as an aside, my cron spine failed to kill one of those when it was in five rounds of combat. Like it was, it's enough fucking damage to kill it two times over. Anyway, that's a different thing. Yeah, this cron spine really let me down this weekend. But I put the cron spine like up confidently 11 inches on the line. Like I wanted one of them in. I knew full well that she had +3 to her move with one of the prayers. Like I knew full well that she'd go full send. But what I failed to, and I know that Stonehorns have a heroic action where they can fly 3d6 inches, mm-hmm. but it completely went out of my head. So I put my cron spine down and then I put the guy that was bonded to it by the boat, but like a good, like 11 inches away, let's say. However, and then I deployed my six little sperms behind it, but within 3 inches, right? And she just went, right. I said, oh, you give the turn. And she went, are you sure? Okay, brilliant. I know what I'm doing. And then she just confidently put her frost sword straight down the cron spine's throat and then leapt 8 inches outside of its 3-inch control zone, and then followed up into the guy that was controlling it and killed it.
Oh, bro. Right.
So now I've got a Kronspine in melee with 6 sperms, and I am fucking thinking, right, breathe, think. So I've come to the realization that I've been clever enough to not put it within an inch. So my sperms can't attack it, and it can attack them, and there's only 2 of them that are in range. So I've gotten out. I need to roll 3 attacks, 2s, 2s, Ren 3, damage 4. So if I kill 2 of my sperms, that frees up my Kronspine and 4 of these. And Darren. Actual fact, I'm in a good
position. Darren,
what are the sperms?
We've gone from...
You know what I'm talking about.
I know that your Ideneth army is a narrative army of one bag and a load of sperm.
Exactly. Anyway, so I'm like, don't panic. I'm just going to kill 2 of these eels, and then I'm going to be, in actual fact, I'm going to be in a really good position now because I've got her big lord by my boat. I'm just going to go across and I'm just going to kill the lord. And I'm going to get my battle tactic, which is kill a unit within 12 inches of your boat. Happy fucking days. Anyway, 3 attacks, 2 ones and a 2. Brilliant. Do I wound? Yes. One's dead. However, it's not dead because I'm in cover in the first turn. I roll a fucking 6. So I don't kill any of my sperms. And then in my turn, I kill 4. And then I get the double, and then the game's on again. But I just... like, I didn't react at the time, but inside I was thinking, twat, 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 fucking twat, what are you doing that? Like, it's like, but it, again, it's, you need to experience it to, that. I'll never do that. I'll never make that mistake again. I know I'll never make that mistake again. It's so fucking stupid. But you've got to think to yourself, it's day 2, it's for the event, like, it's game 5, you're against a quality opponent. Like you're stressed out from your other games, etc. Like you can make even the best of us make really fucking stupid mistakes, and that's probably the stupidest mistake I think I have made in about 5 years. Really big fucking mistake. But that wasn't the reason I lost the game. Hazel deserved the win. She beat me at the end, and she outplayed me. So well done, and she's won a ticket to America. Well deserved.
She's a menace with those ogres, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good. Really good. Really good.
Peck your eyes out with the with those vultures, eh? Peck, 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 peck. Yeah, exactly. Owen, plays, misplays, any you got for us?
Well, I was proud of the round 5, the Stormcast zone out. That was fun of the week.
Yeah.
But probably I started the tournament with a loss, which sucks. And that was because of, again, the reason I said earlier to like make sure that you read your opponent's list is because I come off we when you go to a tournament, you take your whole self there, don't you? Whether you've had an argument with your partner, whether you've been a shit week at work, whether you've had a mental night out, whether you're, you know, whatever you've been experiencing. Normally we play Warhammer to have an escape away from the rigors of normality. I had a bit too much normality that week and I was pretty tired, but read my opponent's list and I didn't realize that he had the Inspired Triumph. So essentially I was playing against Sylvaneth. He had 12 dragonflies and we both played quite passive turn ones. And then he won turn 2 prio and he chose a battle tactic to kill a unit of Ungor that I put near a wood. So I knew that he was going to go and do that. And he had Belthanos, so he could run and charge and get there. This is my opponent, Terry, at the Fourth Darkness. And then the other unit of 6 dragonflies, I'd moved Bellicor up onto the far left objective on the Pulse. So they needed, like, after a redeploy, averages, they were going to need, like, an 8-inch charge. And I didn't think he would necessarily push them. And he didn't need to, because he could only strike and fade one unit and he'd leave the other one dangling and I could bring my balls down and blow it up. So I made all these calculations and I didn't Bellicor the unit because I was like, yeah, I want to get value out of him in the mid game, like what we've talked about.
You wanted some jazz, Owen.
I wanted a Bellicor solo.
You wanted some jazz.
In the mid game.
You should have just played the...
And so I thought to myself, well, most of his attacks are threes and threes. I don't care about his rend. The bugs on top hit on fours. He's got like whatever it is, about 40 something attacks. I was like, I should survive on a few wounds. Then I just shuffle him around and he bellicose something important in the next turn, or if I don't get the double. And he yeeted forward. I forgot that he'd heartwood them, so he was already plus one to hit against Bellicore, and then I forgot he had a triumph, so everything then came through twos and twos. Yeah. I was like, okay, fine, you need to do 28 wounds here, damage one, and I need to spike some saves. He did 28 wounds, and I rolled perfectly 14 4-ups, and he died to the wound, and I was like,
ooh. So, what's worse, dying to the wound or dying by loads of wounds?
To the wound. Always to the wound is much worse, right?
I think it's just fucking dying. And matter it is, you can whatever it is, you just complain, isn't it? Oh, that's under average. Oh, it's to the wound.
Exactly, yeah. It's just Bellicor's ability doesn't bracket, you know what I mean? It's like if he's crawling around the board on one wound.
He's got no wings left, he's on his hands and knees, he can still
So yeah, that was a misplay on my part. And then not having him on the board just meant that I had much fewer pieces as the late game came on, and I lost the game by 1 point in the end, which was disappointing. But bit of a misplay on my part, but it was more of probably a bit of tiredness. But Terry played well, so yeah, that was it.
I do, as just a quick aside, I do love the that when beasts are played well with the zoning, because they do result in some absolutely amazing pictures. You know, all the pictures of people not able to bring stuff down is just, it's just glorious.
There isn't a picture of that. I didn't want to be like so crass as to be like, ooh, look how cool I am, I'm going to take a picture.
Here's my key selfie.
There is a picture that the TO took of the round, and my opponent actually retweeted it or commented on it, and his face is just like, fucking hell.
Is it on there? Who's done that?
It's David Weimer.
I love David Weimer.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to David. That's been a good sport, isn't it? That's great.
Yeah, he played like well
too. He's lush. He's absolutely lush. I'm going to look at it now.
Noah, any fantastic plays? Any misplays that you can think of? Anything that you've done?
Well, yeah, no misplays,
obviously.
Yeah. I do have misplays. Yeah, I've never messed anything up in this game.
It's typical American confidence from you then.
Yeah. No, I meant to do that. I meant to lose. Yeah. National teams, my last matchup was into Gargants. And it was the Broads. Is a very good player playing them. He just had broken one of his arms, Fred. Oh. And so he was playing Gargants because he could play them with one arm.
what an amazing pro. There you go. If you play with one arm. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, he kept hugging me and just like be like, ow, ow. It was great. But we were drinking every single turn roll. Like, you know, it's a good game, but it was really good. He sent everything into me after I had troll attacked him. And then I sort of survived it enough to pick up three of the Gargants. He had one left on six wounds. Last turn, and I still had the terrain tactic sitting there, and I could have just walked backwards and won the game. And instead, I ran forwards and attacked the guy. I cut myself. I get roared. I cut myself. I do one wound to myself. I with everything. I do like two wounds and then just die immediately. And he used the what's it called? The hillbilly blizzard. The 4-up just knock him, because
is that what you call it? The hillbilly blizzard.
I was looking at it. I was like, I did not need to do that. I could have just walked 5 inches and just, we're going in.
What do you like to say, Alex?
Noah, you just got too excited. You just got too excited.
Yeah. I'm so red.
I mean, that's actually an amazing segue, because I was going to say thank you to everyone. I think after our last episode where, and apologies, I've forgotten the Swedish player's name again. I'm really sorry. But after our last...
Abbe.
After our last episode where Abbe unfortunately showed the benefits of being too excited, we've had a whole swathe of listeners now becoming way too excited and it all going horribly, horribly wrong. So I do love all these messages, and it's all my misplays to all of you. All of these fantastic, too excited. People are charging into corners. People are running away from the objectives. People are throwing their wizards into combats they shouldn't be in. And because Abbe, I'm afraid you've created a monster here. People are going for the outs, and these outs are not working. These are not working, these outs. So to all of you that sent these messages in with these glorious plays, keep it coming, because I absolutely love it.
Keep plugging away, because one day all the stars will align.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about it on here and say it worked though one time. But yeah, so those are fantastic. So please do send them in. They're really quite funny. So I enjoy those.
Can we call them Sex Panther plays?
Yeah, that's what we should do. We should call them Sex Panther plays. Exactly. Right, that's another episode, gents. So I guess that's all that for me to say. Thank you to everyone for all your really kind comments, everyone asking us to get some episodes out. So sorry about the delay, but, you know, good things come to those who wait and all that. Thank you, Noah, for coming on. It's been awesome. So thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed yourself. Thanks, guys. So, yeah, thank you. We'll see you all. You're coming over in 2 weeks, did you say? So.
Yeah, I'm coming on the 20th, I fly. And then we're going to London for a day, and then we're coming up to Brothers War. It's going
to
be great.
Awesome. So any of you at Brothers War, do go and say hello to Noah. He's a very fun chap, so go and say hello.
We did for that almost take entirely armies that had the most number of shooting like shots that we possibly could.
Yeah.
But we at the last second didn't, and I kind of regret.
Yeah, that. I'm regretting. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you are at Brothers War, yeah, do go say hello, and I'm sure you guys will have a great time. But yeah, thank you very much. Darren, Owen, pleasure as always. Thanks very much for coming along.
Let's not Darren, leave it in 3 months.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no more 3 months, and it's just nice to hear no more meatball instance, Darren. So I'm happy with that one. And to all you guys listening, as I said, thanks very much. The messages are awesome, even though we haven't done as many episodes as we would like. So, yeah, thanks again for everything. So be kind, look after each other, and we'll catch you all next time. So cheers. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.